You can grab a seat. We are so glad that you're here today. I'm Pastor Ryan, if I haven't had an opportunity to meet you. And we are just so excited and so thrilled to have you here today on this very special Sunday, the very first Sunday in our new building. What do you guys think? Let's come back next week. How's that? Well, that's great. Well, our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 John chapter 5, 13. If you want to take out your outlines today, the Bible tells us, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life." That you may know that you have eternal life. Today I want to talk to you about life's most significant, most important decision. Really, is what we do with Jesus Christ. Do we choose to serve Him, to ignore Him, to follow Him with our whole lives? What decision will we make? It's more important than the decision that we make about our career, our finances, our jobs, even our family. What do we do with Jesus Christ? And the Bible tells us that God wants us to be confident of our relationship with Him. God wants us to be confident. You notice here he says that you may have eternal life and that you may know. Now, the question is, well, what is eternal life? Eternal life is life that is unending. It starts and it never stops. That moment that we make that faith connection with Jesus Christ, we began this spiritual journey. And the Bible says that to be absent in the flesh is to be present with the Lord. So the spiritual life that we have continues to endure even though we physically will die at some point. Life, eternal life. And being certain about where we are with God is so significant and such an important part of our lives, because if we live our entire lives uncertain about where we stand with God, we will never learn to love Him, we will never learn to serve Him, we will never learn to enjoy the abundant life that God wants us to have. And a lot of people live with fear. So many people are afraid of God. You know, so many people feel guilty their entire life. They can't even enjoy the Lord because they feel guilty all the time. And we look around and we see so many problems that are associated with it. Now, if there was uncertainty in our lives and every other arena of life, you could imagine what life would be like. I think she's my wife. You know, I'm not sure, but she might be, you know. Or I think these are my kids. You know, not certain about that either. I think this is my house. I think this is where I work. I think this. We could never do anything significant if we're not certain about where we stand or who we are. And the same is true with God. And God wants us to be certain. God wants us to be secure. God wants us to be absolutely certain where we stand with Him. Because at the end of time, we'll give an account for our lives, what we did with Jesus Christ or not. We need to know. You know, as we kick off this very significant Sunday here at Edge Church, it is so important for us to talk about this issue of eternal life, because Jesus spoke about it so often. If you notice in John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29, he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them from the Father's hand." The scripture tells us there's three things about life eternal here that we need to download this morning. The first is this. The first is this. Eternal life is for free. It is for free. Look at the scripture. I give them eternal life. It's a free gift from God. I give them. If God gives it to us, we have to receive it, but it is something that we are not entitled to. And many people live their entire lives confused about this issue. We think, well, I could have eternal life. I could go to heaven when I die. I could have this relationship with God if I do this, if I check these boxes, right? If I have these accomplishments, right? If I could just do this for God, then it would impress Him so much. And the scriptures reminds us here in John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking, "I give them eternal life." You know, it's almost like we believe that we need to have these tickets, and every time we do a good deed, God gives us a ticket, and at the end of time, We're going to take all of our tickets and we're going to hold them up to God and say, God, here's my tickets. And you know, would you let me into your kingdom, God? Because look at all the things that I did. Look at the tickets. But the question is this: how many tickets do I have to have? Most people come to Chuck E. Cheese to bring their kids, but I come because I love the tickets. Wondering what I do in my spare time, right? What does Pastor Ryan do when he's not at the church? Now you know. How about this, guys? 1,000 tickets later. Yeah. Oh, I'm fired up about this. It cost me $200 to get enough tokens to get this beautiful bear. Man, this is high quality right here. How about that? Isn't that great? It's all about the tickets. It's all about the tickets, isn't it? Yeah, we believe that. The Bible tells us, actually, Jesus Christ is the ticket, the ticket. We have life eternal not because of the tickets, but because of the ticket. And the scripture tells us that Jesus died on a cross and he rose from the grave in order that we could have the ticket to life eternal, life eternal. Now, I drive a 2000 4Runner. I am ready to get a new car. I mean, I've got some significant miles on this car, 160,000 miles. It's been a great car, and it's been with me a long, long time. But I'm looking forward to doing something different this coming year, and so I'm, you know, saving a little money. And so here's kind of my plan. I'm going to save some money, and I'm going to make a down payment on that car, but then I'm probably going to borrow some money to make up the difference, and then I'm going to have monthly payments in addition to the down payment, right? And that's how I'm going to get that new car. And a lot of folks look at their spiritual life in the same genre, in the same way. Jesus Christ is the down payment, and then I make the monthly installments by all the things that I do, all of my deeds, all of my actions. You see, a gift is something that is totally different from that. It's not Jesus plus my good actions. It is not just what can I do or accomplish. It is Christ alone giving us this gift of eternal life. This gift, and it's for free. It's free from God. And when it comes to God, many people don't want to play. You know, have you ever been asked to play something and you turned down the opportunity because you knew you were going to lose? That's the way I was as a kid. I had this really smart kid that was my neighbor as growing up. He lived a couple of houses down from me. He was like rocket scientist type kid, you know, like magna cum laude, you know, valedictorian, you know, college scholarships and all this kind of stuff. Super smart guy. Well, we would play together, and he started learning to play chess when I was like in the fourth or fifth grade. And he taught me how to play chess. And we played a few times. He totally wiped me out. I mean, he destroyed me. It was no fun at all. And my friend, his name was Brian. And so in his room, he had these letters on the wall that said B-R-I-A-N. I would go in and actually rearrange the letters as a kid to spell brain, right? Brain. Smart guy. And he couldn't figure out why I didn't want to play chess with him anymore. I don't want to lose. You're going to wipe me out if I play chess with you. I'm an Uno guy, right? Lots of luck and no skill. That's my style. Chess, I don't know about that stuff. I'm not going to play something if I know the moment that I begin that I have no chance, no slim chance. That's why I love Chuck E. Cheese. That's why I love basketball. That's why I love skee-ball. All these kind of things. I got a chance. If we look at our relationship with God the same way, you will never serve him. You know, a lot of people are afraid of God. A lot of people are uncertain about God. A lot of people not sure what to think or where to go. And people think, man, I'm so bad, you know, or I've done something that's not right, or I can't measure up. You know, sometimes I talk to people about their faith and they say, Ryan, this Christian thing is cool and that's interesting, but I could never do that. I could never live that kind of life. And so because I could never live that kind of life, I'm just not even going to try. You see, if we have that mentality, we miss the fact that being a follower of Jesus starts with the gift. It's not about you. And if it was about you, you would never make it. I would never make it. Because we are all filled with our own fatal flaws, aren't we? There's nobody here that would qualify. We need the grace of God. We need God's gift to us. It is for free. And, you know, we live in a world where we see cause and effect everywhere we go. And we believe that, and we live by that. If I work hard, I'll get a promotion in my job. If I study hard, maybe I'll get a scholarship. If I'm nice to people, people will be nice to me. And those things are probably true most of the time. However, our relationship with God is different. And if we begin to translate that mentality to God, we will miss what grace is. We will miss what the gift is. We will miss God's love for us because we will think that it's all up to me, and if I could just get enough tickets, if I could just do enough of this, then somehow God would be pleased with me. And God says, it's not about you anyway. It is a gift. It is a gift. Sent in the person of Jesus Christ. Other religions practice and teach this. This is one of the really distinctive aspects of Christianity. Jewish people live by the law. You keep the law, God will be pleased. Muslims live by the five pillars of Islam. You do this. Buddhists live by the ninefold path. Do this. Even Mormons believe that you can get to the third level of heaven by accomplishing and doing a checklist of things. God says something totally, totally different. It's revolutionary. This is why people despise Jesus Christ. They believe that the gospel message was too good to be true, and that is that God has offered us a gift. And the question is, well, if God has offered us this gift, then how do we receive it, right? I mean, what do I do? If it's really for free, then what do I do? And the second thing we see is that this gift is for me. The gift is for me. It's for free, and it is for me. God wants you to reach out to him in faith, and this morning I want to give you an opportunity to do what many people did at our 9 o'clock service, and that was just to reach out their hand in faith and to trust Christ for their own forgiveness and for God's gift of eternal life. Notice in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. It's interesting, Jesus uses the analogy of a shepherd and sheep. Jesus is the shepherd, his followers are the sheep. And the shepherd's sole responsibility is for the salvation of the sheep. And there's three things here that the shepherd does and that the sheep are to respond and to do likewise. First of all, the sheep are to listen to the shepherd. You notice it says there, my sheep listen to my voice. And in the ancient world, sheep would know the particular voice of the shepherd. Many times shepherds would take their flocks, they would combine them together in a pen for protection at night, and then the next morning they would wake up, and shepherd A would call his sheep, and shepherd B would call his sheep, and shepherd C would call his sheep, and the sheep would know the voice of the shepherd. It's amazing, isn't it? But they could recognize it, and they didn't get confused. They heard the voice of the shepherd. Man, when you begin to follow Jesus Christ, you will know his voice in your life. It's one of the great indicators of authentic faith. Do we listen to the shepherd? And the Bible tells us we are known by the shepherd. Man, when you're part of God's flock, God knows you. Jesus said in Matthew 7:23, I will declare to them, I never knew you. What was Jesus talking about? He was talking about at the end of time, when we give an account of our faith and our life, why would Jesus say, I never knew you? Because there's some people that think that they know God, but they really don't. Maybe some of us in this room, you know, you're like, man, I grew up in this church family, and I know Bible verses, and you know, I've been to church, but you know what? that doesn't make somebody a sheep. We can know lots of things about God and yet not have received his forgiveness into our lives, the heart change that God wants to bring into us. Salvation is not attained by what you know, it's by who you know. And you're not a Christian because of who you are, but because of whose you are. So sheep are known by the shepherd. And then sheep also follow the shepherd. When the shepherd calls, they follow. They follow the shepherd. And it's the outward proof of an inward faith is by, you know, following him. And that's the question people always have. They're like, man, if salvation is really a gift from God, you know, what about all those people that say that they're a Christian and that they're not? You know, Jesus said that you'll know a tree by its fruit. If somebody's an authentic follower of Christ, you'll see it in their life. Because our deeds are a reflection of our heart. What we do emanates from here. When God begins to change your heart, it changes your actions. I was talking to my neighbor in another state where I'm from, and the neighbor came over, and he was kind of stressed out, you know, and we had been talking a lot about faith issues, and he came over, and he had, like, perspiration kind of running down his forehead. He said, Ryan, I got to talk to you. I was like, man, are you okay? What's going on? He said, oh, man, I'm fine, but I got to ask you a question. Do you believe in once saved, always saved? And he said it with so much passion. He was like, whoa, you know. And I said, yeah, absolutely. The Bible teaches that. And I said, but the Bible also teaches that your deeds or your actions will reflect your faith. Then he started to get stressed out again. You know, he kind of took a deep breath. My neighbor was kind of an interesting guy. He grew up in the church. He had a really great Christian mom. But his faith in Christ had not really taken root in his own heart. And I think he was looking for a get out of jail free card, you know, one day, you know. If I say this prayer, check this box, say this whatever, I'm good. Salvation's a free gift from God, absolutely. But if we say that we follow Jesus, but our life doesn't reflect us, we have to look at our lives and say, did I really meet the Savior? I mean, did I really know Christ? Did I really receive that new mind and that new heart and that new attitude? Did I start to experience transformation in my life? That doesn't mean you're perfect. There's not one person in here today that lives a morally perfect life, myself included. I have flaws in my life. You do too. That's true. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. But it does mean you're being transformed. It does mean you're being changed. It does mean that God's moving you forward. God's taking your faith to another level. And that's what the sheep do. They follow the shepherd. They follow that shepherd. Follow the shepherd. Romans 10:9 says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. And you know, that's the message. That's the gospel message right there, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful? Call upon the Lord. Confess with our mouth. Believe in our heart. That's what God wants every one of us in this room to do today. And I can't think of a greater day to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ than today on the specific day that we're beginning this new church, man. How exciting would that be today? And you know what? If that really is the gospel message, we ought to be telling other people about Jesus. You know, if you're a follower of Christ, you ought to be excited. I worry about people that are Christians that never talked about Jesus to anybody, you know? Kind of like incognito, undercover Christians, you know, that kind of thing. Man, I don't know if you met the same Jesus that I met, but the day I met Jesus, my life started changing, got different. And the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. They know that voice. The Bible tells us eternal life is for me, and it is for free. And then it goes on and it says the third thing, that is, it is forever. It starts and it doesn't stop. I mean, once you got it, it's got a lifetime warranty on it. And how could that be possible? Because salvation is not only given to us by God, but it is sustained by God. And notice the imagery that Jesus uses here in verses 28 and 29. He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one, underline that, no one can snatch them out of my hand. And then he says the same thing in verse 29 again. If Jesus says something one time, we ought to take note of it. But my goodness, if he says it two times in a row, we ought to really take note of it. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And so we wonder, well, could I do something to snatch myself out of God's hand? No way. Could the devil snatch us out of God's hand? No way. No way. Could somebody else snatch us out of God's hand? No. Jesus makes this so clear here. He says, no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. Nobody. It is forever. I love this verb tense here in the language of the New Testament. It's in the present tense, meaning it starts today. See, here's one of the misconceptions. Sometimes we believe that eternal life starts when we die. But did you know when Christ comes into your life, your new life in Christ starts today? It starts now. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life to the full. You may have it more abundantly. So it's not just about waiting till you get old or you're laying on your deathbed and you're going to somehow cry out to God. Oh my goodness, we have misunderstood this whole thing if we think that. It is forever. And some people believe if things don't work out in this life that, you know, they'll get reincarnated. You know, I was a caterpillar, I'm going to come back as a lizard, that kind of stuff. I want to tell you, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. We get one shot. We got one opportunity to decide what are we going to do with Jesus Christ. And you know what? God loves you. And that's why you're here today, man, to hear this message. God loves you. A number of years ago, I was preparing for a Super Bowl party for our church. And I wanted to get one of those really big TVs. We had a lot of people coming to the party, needed a big TV. Nobody had a TV big enough. One of my friends recommended that I go to one of those rent-to-own places. You guys know what I'm talking about? Rent-to-own. They have the big signs out there, and you walk in, and it's like, you can have a 200-inch TV for $30 a month, and they don't tell you that's for 50 years, you know, kind of thing. Okay, I was at one of those kind of places. And I talked to the manager, and I told him I was a pastor, and, you know, I needed a TV. He said, you know, Ryan, that's fine. We'll get you this TV for $30 a month. You'll enjoy it. And we'll let you just do it for 1 month. We won't make you, you know, sign up for the 80-year plan, whatever. I said, oh, thank you. That's good. He said, but you got to fill out my forms. And I said, okay. So he handed me the forms. You know, I was expecting like a one-page sheet. Oh, no, no, no. This is like a full-blown loan document, you know. The first page is like name, phone number, email, all that stuff. I filled that out. Got to the second, third, fourth page. You know what they were asking? They wanted to know the names, address, and phone numbers of my closest friends. I was like, this is shady. They wanted to know not one credit card. They wanted to know all of my credit cards and all of the numbers and all of the expiration dates. And then they wanted to know my last five addresses. I was trying to go back and remember the address of my college dorm room. I finally told the guy, I said, man, I'm not filling out your form. I'm a pastor. I preach over at this church. And by the way, I'm there every Sunday. So if there's a problem, you can come and find me. Why was this guy having me fill out all this paperwork? Because if you don't pay, he's going to send the repo ninja. That's why. Some dude's going to be lurking in the dark shadows of your house, and he's coming after you, and he's got all your information. He knows all your friends. He knows all your credit card information. He knows every place that you've lived. He's coming after you. And you know, sometimes we look at our spiritual lives like the repo man. We kind of think we got kind of a rent-to-own deal. And if somehow we fail, we stumble, we fall, that God's going to come and take something back from us that he has already given to us. But notice again what Jesus has said. He said, man, your salvation cannot be repossessed. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that beautiful? Salvation is forever. When I hear about free stuff, sometimes I get kind of skeptical. Anybody here skeptical about free stuff? Sometimes you see things at the mall, free this, free that, whatever. Do not believe that stuff, okay? Now, several years ago, I got something in the mail that said, Ryan, you are the winner of a new yacht. I was like, God, thank you. I was like, this is so awesome. I was thinking about all the things I was going to do. I was like, I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to take my family to Cancun, you know, holidays, weekends, and, you know, I'm going to learn to navigate this vessel. I don't know anything about boats. In fact, if we go fishing, I'm going to have you bait my hook, okay? I don't know anything about that stuff. I'm so fired up about my new yacht. They sent a big picture of it, and they had, you know, they had my name. There's something about seeing your name printed. You're like, oh, this is legit. You know, this is like real stuff, black and white print and all this. So I filled out the form, and I'm looking in the mail. You know, every day I'm like, hurry up, yacht, you know, get here. So a few weeks later, I go to the mail. I get this package, and I open it up, and it's the letter. And the letter says, Ryan Heller, here is your new yacht. And I opened the box up, and it was a plastic yacht. It was about a foot long. And I want to tell you, it was the nicest toy yacht I had ever seen before. It was a nice boat. Oh, I was totally disappointed, man. All my dreams have been dashed, you know? It was too good to be true. Sometimes we believe that salvation in Jesus Christ is too good to be true. Could God really love me? Could God really want me? Could God really know me? And yet the Bible says that God offers this free gift to us if we will reach out our hand in faith to receive it, and that once we receive that gift is forever, and no one can take it from us.